this morning for his goodness to us. We have a subject in our heart. I love it when the Lord does something special. Where he matches up Sunday school with the Word. And all I can do is think about it. That's one of the reasons I don't read the Sunday school lesson book, so that I won't be inspired in any particular way. And so when he matches it up, I feel like that he just wants to double down on what he's trying to tell us.
Amen.
We want to start in John 18. And we want to start at the 34th verse. And this is where Jesus is brought before Pilate. And he says, starting at verse 34, Jesus answered him, saying, thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered and said, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Then in the 38th, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all.
Yes.
Pilate says, what is truth? Yes. In other words, I'm hearing what the Jews are having to say. I'm hearing something of what you're having to say. But what is truth? You know that the whole world wants the answer to that. What is truth? Everybody has a different sense of truth. Everybody has a different idea of what truth is, what I should believe, what I should not believe. Everybody has their own sense of honesty. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked some about that.
Yes.
That each of us have our own sense of honesty. There are some things that one could do that another could not.
Yes.
Because the very sense, the very idea of how God has dealt with them in their soul, that is something they could not do. But the Lord hasn't necessarily dealt with the others in exactly the same manner. Does it mean that they might not end up on the same page one day? Yeah, they might. But the point being is that we all have an individual life that we're having to live before God. And we're all going to answer for that life.
Amen.
We're going to all answer for truth in our life. There, we have an idea and a sense of what truth is for us. We know what God is expecting of us. We know whether we are following it or not. And we will be judged by what we know. We will be judged. The Lord will look in our hearts. He knows the very moment that he talked to you about that thing. He knows the very moment that you understood it. He knows the very moment that you either followed through and carried on with that understanding, or he knows the very moment that you began to ask questions and be vague about things and begin to cover up and begin to question and all of these things, until finally that little bit of truth that the Lord was trying to get you, it just kind of faded away. He knows those things. And we are going to be held responsible for those things that God has dealt with us personally about. We can't look around at one another and say, well, they don't have to do it, so I don't have to do it. You cannot do that.
Amen.
Because God is going to, he knows your personality. He knows what leads you astray. He knows what hinders your mind. He knows what hinders you serving him in your mind. So he's going to deal accordingly with yours, like he does with all of us as individuals. So we are going to have truth before the Lord. And Pilate was wondering, what is truth?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Jesus said, that for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. That you might be able to understand what the truth is, because you'd be able to watch my life, his life, and see what truth was. Well, we want to have that same kind of life. We want people to be able to watch our life and see what truth is. Not the truth we live just in church. Not the truth that we live on the job. Not the truth that we do in our homes when nobody's looking. But the truth. What God has told you about. What God has taught you about. Not the things that we rebel against. Not the things we make excuses for. But the real truth. We're going to be held to that.
Yes.
We are going to be held to that. In Psalms, the 119, Psalms 119, 142. It says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. God laid down his law in the Old Testament. It was to show people what sin was. It was to show them what was wrong, what was right. They needed to have a good understanding of what the law permitted, what the law didn't permit. And if you read down through the first three books of the Bible, you will find out a lot of things that God laid down as his law, and laid down about everything that they were to follow. And if you start reading through there, you will find that it was a rigorous thing that they had to do. It was not a laid-back thing where they could just relax for weeks on end and then just go ahead and bring a little sacrifice or whatever. That isn't the way it was. You will find it was rigorous. They were having to work every day to obey the law. They were having to look at family situations and all different kinds of, they were having to be able to follow the law. They had to do those things. And he laid down all those laws for our protection, for humanity's well-being, because the enemy had destroyed all sense of right and wrong among the people. They were just wrong continually and didn't even have a sense of what truth or right really was. So he laid down the law. We know what it's like, don't we? When in our homes, when mom or dad lays down the law,
yes.
We know not to cross that, don't we? But I'm afraid that we as humans, because the law is here and not someone standing right next to us telling us, you're going to be in trouble if you do this. Don't do this. This is your punishment. Because we don't have somebody standing right there, and we actually have to seek out the law for ourselves, that many of us walk behind truth, walk behind what we really do know, maybe sometimes, and also walk behind what we should know.
Yes.
What we should know. We are God's people. We are supposed to be reading the Word every day. We should know the truth. We should know what's in here. We should know what is required. It's very, very important that we read. This is how we get it. Yes, God is faithful to prick our hearts. He's faithful to do that. But he's also very mindful of what he has laid down for us to do. And he doesn't cross over what we're supposed to do and run around behind us, picking us up and pointing us here and pointing us there and this and that, when we're not even doing what we're supposed to do.
Yes.
He won't do that. This is a voluntary walk. Yes. This is voluntary before God.
Amen.
We get to decide how much we want to follow the Word of God. We get to decide. We can throw out whole books and whole pages in here and not do anything that it says in any of them. We can pick one book and say, I'm just going to follow this one book, you know, and try to make it to heaven that way. We get to decide. But God laid down everything in here we need to get there. And he made a way for us to get there. But it's up to us to take out of the Word what we need and measure to it so that we can meet God in peace. So the law in the Old Testament, was God's truth. Now, there's a scripture that says the law and the prophets were until John, but since then, everybody presses into it. But there's something in between there. If you get it, you can quote it. It was only for a certain period of time that the law was laid out like this. And then Jesus came and fulfilled the law. There were many things in the Old Testament that they couldn't keep from doing. They didn't have control over their lusts. And they didn't have control over the inner man. They had no way of getting rid of all that sin nature that was there. And they had no way to fight against it. They did their best. Even David was said he was a man after God's own heart, even the horrible things that he did, because he was repentant. He actually was repentant. He actually was saddened in his heart. He actually had godly sorrow. And because of that, God said, he's a man after my heart. But in the New Testament, it's changed, dear ones. It has changed. Now, in the New Testament, in John 17, it says, sanctify them. This is Jesus, his intercessory prayer for the disciples. And he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So all the New Testament is truth. All the Old Testament is truth. All the New Testament is truth.
Yes.
Pilate says, what is truth? This is truth.
Yes.
People are looking for their own truths out there. They feel like to take advantage of somebody else, if they're weak and all, and they take advantage of them to them, that's their truth.
Mm-hmm.
That this is what I'm supposed to do. When there's a weakness, I make my way through that door, and I do this, and I do that, and that's their truth. That's what they feel like is the right thing to do. I'm a businessman after all, you know. I'm not trying to help people. I'm trying to make my business grow. That's their truth. But the scripture says that the word of God is truth. This is the truth we have to live by. The word of God expresses the true character of God. It tells us who he is, how he thinks, what he expects out of humanity, what he will provide. If you do this, I will do this.
Yes.
He's very plain. If you don't do this, I will not do this. This happens over and over in the Word of God. So God has laid down truth in here to help us to be able to know how to get to heaven.
Yes.
When we were born, we didn't know we were even on a journey yet. But as we grew, maybe we heard some things and we realized we were on a journey. And the closer we get, the older we get, the more we think about that life after. The more we think about it. Even people that don't really believe in a life after, they start thinking about it. I'm convinced God talks to them about it. Get them to start thinking and understanding differently. I'm convinced that there are conversations that go on in their head about, well, I don't believe it like that, and it's just going to be emptiness. And they're just trying to convince themselves that there's nothing there, and it's just emptiness. But that's not the truth. And because it's not truth, there's an unsettledness in their being. They don't want to admit it's there.
Yeah.
But why is it that some of the ones that were the strongest outspoken atheists at the end of their life began to struggle and change their minds and became scared? Why is that? Because truth prevails. It goes out from God. The Holy Spirit goes to and fro, and he's convincing people and talking to people all the time about what the truth is. Whether or not they want to accept it, whether or not they want to change their life to match it, that's up to them. But he does not leave them there just without anything. It's very rare for God to speak to a soul and then reject him, and then he doesn't come back for years and years and years and years. I've heard of it.
Yes.
But that's not the norm. That's not the norm. The norm is that God doesn't leave you alone. I'm convinced that every year God is talking to people.
Yes.
And several times at different points in their year. They lose a loved one, God talks to them. You know, something happens, they have a near-death experience, God talks to them. There are places they have a great disappointment and God talks to them. He works with people. In their deepest, darkest hours, he works with people. And you know what? In some of their places where they think they're having the most fun, I am convinced that the Holy Spirit goes into the clubs and places like that, places where people are drinking.
That's true.
I have heard many, many stories of people that God was talking to them when they were drunk.
Yes.
And they were ended up talking to the people around them in the same place or where they were at, and they have these big discussions about God. How does that happen? You think God wants that to happen? I mean, yes, God does. You think the devil does? No, he doesn't want them to ever think about God. I believe that God catches people in their weak moments, in the times when they're not strong, in the times when they're not all puffed up and angry and all. I mean, he catches them in those places and he talks to them. He spreads a little truth at them and they begin to talk about things. And that there'll be families that have come to a family gathering and all of a sudden everybody's talking about some kind of something from the Bible and hardly anybody goes to church. Why does that happen? Because it's truth. It's truth. And God is trying to convince people all the time of truth. Trying to help them. He wants them to hear. He wants them to say out loud what they believe. You know, it's one thing to have that little thing in your head that you talk about. And with yourself. Well, I don't believe this. I don't believe that. And this. But God wants them to say it out loud. Because you know something? When we say something out loud, it reverberates back to our own ears.
Yeah,
and people's reaction to it shows. And it affects us different. Many, many times. It's why when you're in a situation, you don't want to have the last word. I know people always say they want to have the last word. You don't want to have the last word. Because that is the one that just reverberates and carries on and carries on. You know what I'm saying? The other ones have all been covered because something else was said after this and after that and after that and after that. And they're kind of all lost. It's the last word that gets remembered. So remember that. When you're in a confrontation of some kind or an exchange back and forth, remember the last word is going to be the one remembered. You don't want to have the last word. It's not always the best place to be. Because it's going to be remembered. When we're talking with God many times, we get the last word. God talks to us about something. He convicts us about something. Tries to reason with us about something. And we keep putting it off, making an excuse, rejecting it, saying, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's the truth or if this is the truth. And we're going back and forth and everything. God lets us have the last word. Have you ever noticed that? Because those times come to an end, don't they? But it isn't because God said the last thing. It's because you said the last thing.
Yes.
All right. John 14. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God but through Jesus. Oh, that's a hard saying, isn't it? Because there are many, many, many religions in the land that do not recognize Jesus.
That's so.
But does that change the truth? It's a hard saying. People will say to you, oh, so you believe that all these other religions, they don't mean anything. You ever been confronted with those kind of things?
Yeah.
Those, it's difficult because human reasoning says that all of these different things, that God will just, he'll just allow it all, that they won't be discarded, they won't be kept out. Human reasoning wants to believe that there's a happy ending for everyone. But it's not true. Human reasoning wants to say that because Uncle so-and-so was so generous with his money, always willing to hand out money to here and there and everywhere, that there's reserved in heaven a place for him. But that may not be true. Because the word is truth. If we don't follow the word, there is no truth. There is no place for us. Just imagine, if you can, God, in his threefold being, in heaven, and he decides to create. He decides to create. And he creates all of the universe and all everything that's here. And then he said, let's make man in our own image. Let's make a human being. Let's make him in our own image. Why in our own image? So that we can talk to him, of course. He has to have something in him that we can converse with, because we're up here, he'll be down there. We need to be able to talk to him. We need to be able to, reason together and be together and love one another. And so God put in us a soul that is able to communicate with God. Now, down through the centuries, we come all the way down to today. And people say, well, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. Does God get to set up his kingdom? And when he set it up, did he get to set it up any way he wanted? He did, didn't he? He did it the way he wanted. It's his kingdom. It's his world. It's his universe. It's his. He gets to decide how it's going to go. He gets to do that. And people try to say, well, I just don't see why it has to be this way, and I don't know why you have to do this or why you have to do that. Because he laid down the word. He laid down the law. Then he laid down the fulfilled law in the New Testament. All the truth. Everything he knew. He gave us truth. Answers our questions. Why is it like this? And why is it like that? And why did this happen? And why did that happen? And if you study in here, you'll find out why it happened. You have a whole history of mankind. Why it happened? Why it went the way it went? But truth doesn't change. God is the one that laid down truth. He's the one that invented, if you want to say it that way, truth. He's the one that, it was his very character, his truth. He doesn't deal in the negative, in the lying and all of that. That's the other kingdom. He deals in only truth. So he laid down truth. And he said, if you'll just look in my word, you can find the truth. And if you obey the truth, then you will be able to come and live with me, because that's what heaven is. It's a place of truth. It's a place of holiness. It's a place of contentment. It's a place where there's no rebellion. It's a place like that. And so you have to follow this law and this truth to end up in that place. Because without this, you would be out of place. You wouldn't be in the right place. You would be out of place. Because there is none of the bad traits. There is none of the evil that the enemy brought into the world. None of it is there. In order to get there, we have to be ambassadors for Christ. We have to look like Christ. We have to act like Christ. We have to be what Christ wants us to be in order to get there. All right? In John 8. John 8, 31 and 32. It says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yeah.
Free of what? Free of all of the things that the enemy has brought on mankind. Free of all the things that are meant to stand between us and eternity with God. Free of all of the horrible things that are perpetrated by humans upon humans all over the world. Free. Actually free of the devil's devices. Free of the enemy telling us what to do and causing us to do things. And sometimes we wonder, when we're out there in sin, we wonder, why did I do that?
Yes.
What did I do that for? Or somebody gets caught in something and they do something and then they say, oh, what have I done? What have I done? As the enemy just hounded them and pushed them everything until they did something that they really weren't really wanting to do. But yet there was something in it that was enticing. And before you know it, they're involved in it. And then, what have I done?
Yes.
This is what happens in many relationships in the world. You know, there are the affairs and the different things. What have I done?
Yes.
What have I done? They didn't start out that year saying, I'm going to do this. Before the year is out, I'm going to do this. They didn't start there. But before the year was out, they did something like that.
Yeah.
And they look at it, why did I do this?
Yes.
Why? We know that many, many times people will say, when they're in those kind of conditions, they will say to their spouse, it didn't mean anything. Do you know that that's a truthful statement? It didn't mean anything. They don't even know why they did it. They don't even know what came over them and why they ended up in that place and why it continued on. And then they got caught, and now all they think about is, what have I done? It really didn't mean anything, because this is really what I want right here. Why did I do that? Because the enemy of their soul came in. The truth is that we can be free of the kind of things that lead us into places that we really didn't want to go.
Yes.
We can be free. We can be free. The truth will make us free. When we understand what God requires in the Word, and when we get a hold of Jesus for ourselves, and we get salvation in our hearts and working in our life, we are free then to choose correctly. We'll still hear the enemy over here trying to entice us. But we'll also hear the Lord on this say, this is the way.
Yes.
Walk ye in it.
Yes.
And we will be free to choose. When you're in bondage, you aren't free to choose. He'll get you one way or another. If he can't get you here, he'll do it here. Or he'll go here. Or he'll go there. Or he'll use this. He will put things in your way you thought would never get there. He will bring some of the biggest hopes and dreams that you had way down inside. He will present it right before you. And God will only give you what is best for you. He will only give you what is best. Oh, that's why some people don't want to follow God.
Yes.
Because it doesn't look like people of God are getting very much. Because there were even those in Jesus' time that followed him, he said, for the loaves and the fishes.
Yes.
But that isn't why we're following him. We're following to be free in our own spirit, in our own character, to be free to do those things that are right and good.
Yes. Yes.
We're free to do that. God is a good God.
Yes.
He is everything that we need. He is the truth. There's no sense looking for truth anywhere else. There isn't truth anywhere else but in God. He is the author and the finisher of truth. He is the reason why we have the word. That's who he is truth. He has never lied to us. He will never lie to us. He will never trick us. He will never be deceptive to us. He will be straightforward. Straightforward all the time. Isn't that what we want in all our relationships? Don't you just wish sometimes that everybody you had a relationship with would just be straightforward, would just tell you the truth?
Amen.
Instead of blaming it here and doing it there and talking about over here and over there, by the time you get done, you don't know what is truth. You don't know if this one's telling the truth or if that one's telling the truth and this one has evidence and that one has evidence and all these things. You don't know what is truth. But God isn't like that.
Amen.
He makes it very plain what truth is. It's easy to follow truth. It is not easy. It is not easy to follow the other. Because it's a confusing path. Very confusing. It is a place of confusion all the time when we're not understanding how we should walk and where we should go next.
Yes.
All right, then we want to go to the 43rd verse in the same chapter. And we 43 and 44. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Yes.
Every lie, God, the devil is the father of it.
Amen.
Every lie you ever told from the time you were just a little child, the devil was the father of it.
Yes.
See, God is the father of truth. And the devil is the father of lies. So when we run into deceptions and dishonesty and lies,
yes,
and these kinds of things, we have run straight into the devil and his work.
That's so.
That's what we've run into. Because God never deals like that.
Amen.
It's always just truth. You know how wonderful it is when he speaks to your soul individually, just you and him. And he all of a sudden speaks a truth to you about yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because we have a lot of lies about ourselves. We have a lot of lies about us. Most of us, well, there's two ways that people go. Many people say, oh, you know, I just can't do anything right. And I'm not worthy, and I can't do this, or I can't do that. It's a lie. Or you have the one that says, I can do everything. I don't need anybody else. I can do this all myself. It's a lie. The truth is that without God, you can't do truth. You can't do right. You can't do what you want to do. You will find places in your life that you are disgusted with and upset about and that you don't want and that you wish would change. And but you can't change them. Oh, you can lay something down for a little while, but before too long, you've picked it back up. And you say, why am I doing that? Because the father of lies is working in your life. He's working in your life, causing you not to have freedom. The truth brings freedom. The truth is that you have a weakness for this particular thing, whatever it is. You have a weakness for this. God wants to deal with your weakness. He wants to tell you about it. He wants to heal it. He wants to give you power over it. He wants you to have the truth. The truth is that the truth can get rid of everything that the devil has ever perpetrated on you. The truth can come into your life and completely change it. There is nothing that cannot be changed through the truth. The truth will set us free. Will set us free. But there's no truth in the devil. All those little voices you hear in your ear, convincing you of this, convincing you of that, and you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. This isn't necessary, that isn't necessary. They did it first. You know, look what they did. How can they tell me? All those little things you hear in your ear, they're all lies to get you to keep going down the same path. The Lord wants you to have the truth. He wants to say, yes, you did do it. And then he wants to tell you, no, it was not their fault. It was your fault. And he wants to tell you the truth. He wants to say, you did say it in a wrong way. Don't be trying to say, well, it was just the truth. No, when it's said in the wrong way, it can't be the truth. Even though, technically, it's the truth. But if it's said in such a way that it cannot be received and received to where you end up having to go back and apologize, that was not truth. God does not speak to us that way. We can't speak to others that way.
Amen.
God wants us to have truth. He wants us to live in the truth. He is the truth. He is the father of truth. The devil is the father of all lies. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Talking about the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of truth, you see, can't the Spirit, the Holy Spirit can't be anything else but truth. That's who he is. That's his title, the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
The enemy has a spirit of lies. He has the spirit of deception. He has the spirit of deceit and places where things are hidden. And all the, that's what he has. Those are his spirits. But there's only one spirit from God, and it is the Spirit of truth. And when you let that spirit into your life, when you let the Holy Spirit come in and sanctify you, and you let him come in and you lay down your life to God, offer it up to him as a sacrifice, and he comes in and floods you with his spirit, you are now possessed by truth.
Amen.
You have the truth in you. In you. Does that mean the devil's still going to try to lie and get you to do wrong? Yes, he is. But you have the spirit of truth right here inside that's going to rightly divide things. And you're going to hear this little something in your ear. Yeah, that's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay. And the spirit of truth is going to say, no, don't do that. Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Never going to lie to you. Always going to tell the truth. But do you know the spirit of truth is not a loud voice? He does not yell and scream. He does not get angry and forcefully scream and holler and yell in our ears. That is not. You hear that kind of a thing? That's coming from the enemy. You hear all of that foul language and all that language of the saying, oh, they did you wrong, and this is going to happen, and you should do this, and you should do that, and it's an angry, or what? That's the enemy of your soul. But the spirit of truth never talks like that.
Amen.
You can tell the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of lies.
Yes.
By how it comes into your mind. If it comes in a peaceful, it can be firm, but a peaceful, releasing kind of way. To where you it's like you're tense or whatever, and then you hear the Spirit of Truth and it's like, okay, I know what to do.
Yes.
It's a calm thing. Mm-hmm. When you hear the Spirit of Lies and it's making you agitated and, you should do it this way, or no, I should do it that, maybe I should do it this, and you argue with yourself all day long wondering what's the right way to do this. It's the Spirit of Lies is giving you a hard time, because the Spirit of Truth will just tell you. It'll just open it up to you. It won't be a long, drawn-out battle all day long. He'll just tell you. When you have those long, drawn-out battles in your mind, it's the Spirit of Lies in there trying to cover up and get you to go a different way than the truth would make you go. God knows how to help us, how to guide us. It said the Spirit would guide us. Oh, aren't you glad you have a guide? I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't know what to do. Do you know what to do?
No.
No. We sometimes don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know whether to do this or whether to do that. I don't know if I should even get involved. I don't know if I should let this person talk to me about that. I don't know a lot of things. But we can go to the Lord, and the Spirit of Truth will impress upon our hearts what to do. And it will be so peaceful, and it will be easy to follow through, because it's just truth, and it resonates. Why does it resonate? Because we have the Spirit of Truth in us. So truth comes from God, resonates right down into the Spirit of Truth in us. Thank the Lord for that.
Yes.
All right. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and the 15th verse. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what's wrong with the world today? They're listening to the father of lies, number one. Number two, those that are even trying to worship God are still listening to the father of lies. They're having a hard struggle. They're having a hard time. What's wrong is they're not rightly dividing. They're not rightly dividing and understanding the word of God. They're getting it twisted up. And other people present ideas and present this and present this and try to link up some scriptures. And then they're a little confused and they don't know exactly what they should believe and what they shouldn't. It says study. It says study. We're not to ever come to a place in the Word where we don't understand something and let that just ride.
Amen.
And let it ride. Now, there are some things that we don't understand. Our knowledge isn't strong enough to understand. But we are very content to say, Lord, I don't understand this. But when you see it's best and fit for me to have a better understanding, I just trust you. I just trust you with it. But when you have questions that are detrimental to your soul,
yes.
Questions that they say I shouldn't do this or I shouldn't do that if I'm going to make it to heaven, but I have questions about whether that's really necessary. Do you know you need to find the answer?
Yes.
You need to study till you know the answer. Because people don't study.
Yes.
They don't study to know it. They don't run things down from the Old Testament all the way to the New. They don't run it down and study it and work with it and pray over it. Do you remember? It was one of the kings. He got a letter, and he took that letter and he laid it on the altar.
Yes.
And he prayed over it because he didn't know what to do. You can do the same thing. You can lay the word of God right there and say, Lord, I do not understand, but I really want to.
Yes.
I want to know the truth about this.
Amen.
I want to know. And God will tell you the truth.
Yes.
He will tell you the truth. But you're going to have to get rid of your own ideas.
Yes.
You're going to have to throw it all out.
Amen.
You're going to have to get rid of your, so to speak, prejudices. You're going to have to get rid of the things that you thought you knew when you were out there under the father of lies. Because part of what you know from out there is what the father of lies told you.
Yes. Amen.
And you've accepted it as truth.
Yes.
And so now when I read the Bible, my understanding is tainted because I accepted when I was out there some things that were not true.
Yes.
So if I'm going to find truth, I have to lay down my ideas. I have to lay down what I think. Is God a big God or not? He's a big God. Is he the father of the whole universe? You don't think he can answer your little questions? But you're going to have to get rid of your own thoughts. You're going to have to lay them down. You're going to have to discard them, stomp on them, bury them, get them as far away from you as you can to be able to hear the truth of what God wants you to understand and know. There's only one way to heaven, dear ones. It's through the truth. He said you can be free. The truth will set you free.
Amen.
When you know the truth of the scriptures, how it was meant to change a man, how it was meant to make him be able to follow all the law.
Yes.
That's what salvation was for. It was meant to change a man.
That's right.
And make him into a creature that is ready to be with God in his kingdom, ready to live as one of his children in his kingdom. That's what it's for. The devil has thrown all manner of lies in our lives, down through our life, to block us from being able to understand the real truth. The truth is not that I sin more or less every day and I can't help it. That isn't the truth. It's not the truth. The truth is salvation was meant to change a man. It was meant to cause us not to sin. We had to repent of all of our sins, but it was not to continue on.
Amen.
Just continue on and on and on doing things that we know are wrong.
That's right.
No, it was to change us. It was to help us to live what we know.
Amen.
We know something is wrong and we need to live it.
God.
And God makes it possible for us to do that. That's what salvation is for.
Amen.
That's the truth of the scriptures. That's the truth of God. That it is to change us.
Amen.
Completely overhaul us. Make us new creatures in Christ so that we can do those things that are pleasant, enjoyable, peaceful in God's eyes.
Amen.
Right in God's eyes. To where he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys that has been prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Amen.
Praise God.